is a celery die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet...
What are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die.
Diehards, please say hello to the great David Berkus.
Okay, so this is so different than what most people teach about networking. I'm curious to know your views on whether salespeople should or should not attend networking events.
Yeah, I think it depends on the goals. One of the most interesting findings in the book is that the traditional sort of unstructured networking event, the mixer, the meetups, et cetera, most of the time, even though people go there wanting to meet new people, they spend the majority of their time with people they already know or people who are really similar to them.
Mm-hmm. You're 100%
so what we find
correct.
Is that when it's just those unstructured events, you end up, it's like an eighth grade dance. Everybody's standing in the corner, right? Stirring their Diet Coke. And not knowing what to do. Or maybe if it's eighth grade, they're probably drinking regular Coke still, but whatever. What we find in the research is that what one researcher called it, Brian Uzi called it shared activities, things that draw a diverse set of people together, but then focus them on something else. So that could be volunteering for a charity, like building a house with Habitat for Humanity, or running a 5K, being part of a runners group, or even just like an educational seminar where the point is to learn. Where there's some other objective that requires interdependence, you end up building connections to strangers better because you have to meet them to do that thing, but it's not the awkwardness of that new conversation. The greatest networking event, in my opinion, I've ever seen, a guy named John Levy in New York plans these dinner parties where everybody who comes, they don't know each other yet. And when they get there, they find out that they're not just going to eat. They actually have to cook the dinner. So he's paired off and you get different tasks and you have to cook alongside a stranger. The rule, though, is that you can't use your name or what do you do during the cooking. Only after we sit down to eat dinner do we actually get to know what people do. So you have to build kind of a different connection. You can't just follow your script of here's who I am and what I do and why I'm amazing. You have to get to know the actual person first.
I love that.
Keith Ferrazzi, the guy who wrote Never Eat Alone, has dinner parties, but the table is only 18 inches in width. And so you can speak to 4 or 5 people rather than have to yell across the table or only meet the 2 people to the right and left of you. And then before dessert, he makes everyone switch.
I like that. Yeah, I like that too. And Keith, at least I remember this from reading the book, is very careful with who's on the guest list and all that kind of stuff to make sure there are those connections. But what I love about John's is the interesting thing is over the last 4 or 5 years, it moved from like a group of John's friends who didn't know each other to other people referring, oh, you've got to go to this dinner. And so now he's entertaining like Bill Nye, the Science Guy, and this Grammy award-winning musician, and this lady who's the princess of a Scandinavian country. Like, it's the craziest list of people you've ever seen in a random apartment in New York. But it works just because people are not doing their normal little script of, here's my elevator pitch on who I am.
Yeah.
Know the person first.
Here's my business card as opposed to here's my diamond ring.
It seems like, going back to what you said, they're building social capital.
Yeah, exactly. And they're doing it through that shared activity of having to cook. So I'm a huge fan of salespeople participating in shared activities. Those unstructured networking events, they're just not an effective use of your time most of the time.
Most people come to those events with an agenda. And the best thing you can do is go to meet people and be of some kind of value rather mm-hmm. than try to suck blood and business cards out of a, mm-hmm. you know, let someone give you their card rather than ask for the card.
Yeah, exactly. The way that I say it often is that I think there's a mindset shift that has to happen where we go to these events and we think I'm going to grow my network, right? Which means the number of people I know. You can't grow your network. You can't build your network. You actually don't have a network. You exist inside of one already. Your best job is to figure out where you are in that network and how you can provide value and build social capital for that network. And down the road, good things will happen to you.
Diehards, please say hello to the great Kathleen Hesser.
Well, in a minute, Alicia can speak to that. But what I will say is one of the other characteristics of Gen Z is as much as they look way past to appreciate legends and icons and that kind of thing, legacy, they, instead of looking past, they often are, they look more forward than millennials have. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think about this, Gen Z was born post 9/11 in a serious recession. Everything about the world that they grew up in, that they were born into, is different and was very negative. They look at millennials and they say, all right, I'm going to learn from them. My older brothers and sisters, they've got college debt through the roof. They had to come back and live with our parents and take my room back, you know, and are in dead end jobs. And they don't want that for themselves. And so they have a very different perspective on life. They're much more frugal. Hopefully that works out for you and your daughter.
That would not be her. But but I will say that they're looking at those millennials and saying, are they lazy? You know, are they just not industrious? Because if I don't want that, I got to work. I have to do something for myself so that I can achieve. And for those of you diehards, we call our audiences diehard people. You better be listening close to this because these Gen Z people, they're your next customer. And they got
they
money
are
in
the
pocket.
Current customer, Jeffrey. This is something they should understand. Gen Z today spends $44 billion a year in the United States alone and influences $600 billion a year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, believe me. Their closing ratio is 100%.
Yeah, because you know, when we were small, we listened to everything our parents said. We would never ask why. We would never push back. Now, why is the word of their generation so that they can understand context? And the reality is that we don't have technology in our homes that our kids don't agree to because they know the technology better than we do because they grew up in a technological world. We won't buy a car that doesn't fit the soccer team and all the gear that goes with it because that would be counterproductive. We don't even get food in our house. The kids won't eat because it's a waste of money. So the influence they have in the United States alone is estimated at $600 billion, not million, billion dollars a year.
That's amazing. I just come up with a book title, Gen Z is Gen Y.
That's a good one. That's a good one. But Alicia, what would you say in terms of you know how you're different as a generation from millennials?
For me, I would say most of us, including me, we're observers. So what you were saying, Ms. Kathleen, is actually really true. We do actually have older brothers or older sisters that have been through, you know, the college debt, and we don't want to do that anymore. And so my mom actually works at West Mech High School as well. And she has a cosmetology program where like the CMS schools now starting this year are actually doing certifications for the Generation Z. So when they have certifications, when they get out of school, they can start working instead of going to college because a lot of the Generation Z now is actually into like not going to college because they don't want to deal with it, that debt themselves.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Motivation Monday.
Reading this article, I'm going to show it to you guys. It's old. It's like from 10 years ago, I think.
Seriously?
Oh, no, four years ago. Sorry. It was revised in March of 2014. It's called Integrity. It's definitely, we'll put it in the notes. It's definitely an article you should read. But then I was also starting to go down this rabbit hole of like, oh my God, this should be one of the core tenets of our company, that everyone honors their word and that everyone has personal integrity, not just sales integrity, because we're practicing this in sales every day, but how well are we doing this at work every day?
So give us the too long, didn't read version of that article. What's the main crux of that piece that you read?
So a couple of things. You can't outwork integrity. If you lack integrity, you're lacking as a person. Okay, so it really defines who you are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then you have to ask yourself, like, if you lack integrity, is that how you want to be known?
You definitely will be known in a heartbeat.
Like, well, she says she's going to do it, but she never does what she says she's going to do. It's not cool.
Right. And it's one of those things that happens quickly. Like, you earn that reputation quickly, but it takes a very long time to shed that kind of reputation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so another thing, if you're a manager, think about how your people feel if you always are making promises, like, because you have good intentions. It's not like you don't want to do the thing you say you're going to do. You want to do it, but then you're just not getting it done.
No, managers will often justify it by saying, well, I'm their boss. They'll get over it. And nothing could be further from, I mean, it's the stupidest thing on the planet. You're justifying your inability to perform based on your leadership position and forcing people to accept your bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's horrible.
So here's where the Motivation Monday part of this kicks in, okay? If you haven't honored your word in full up until now, that's okay. Okay? That's in the past. We're going to leave that behind us. Today is the day you start honoring your word.
Yeah.
Today is the day you create that personal integrity at home, in the workplace, and you create that sales integrity in your sales process. Now,
and
it's very easy.
And you teach it to your salespeople by setting an integrity standard, not necessarily by example.
Mm-hmm.
Like people, will they bet on the fact that you'll be there? Will they bet on the fact that you'll be there ahead of time? Earl Pertinoy said, if you're not half an hour early, you're late. Will they bet on the fact that you're going to get it done when you said you're going to get it done? What are the elements that you're promising that you're not keeping versus what are the elements that you're promising that you are keeping?
Okay. And now once you begin to set this integrity standard for your people or for yourself, it doesn't matter if you have direct reports or not, there's going to be a time where you slip up and you have to just own it. Okay. You own it. And then you keep moving forward and you reset. Like, don't say, oh, I slipped up. Now I don't have to be I don't have to have integrity anymore.
And don't blame it on a flat tire or traffic or your alarm clock didn't go off or the dog ate your homework.
I want to hear from you guys that are watching right now. What's something that happens in your everyday sales life? Are there promises that you have to make? And how often are you keeping them? 70% of the time, 80% of the time? Put in a percentage. Like, and don't be shy. We're not going to like call you out on air. But like, I'm just curious.
Oh, yes,
are you 100% of the time, 100% of the time?
Put your shit in there so we can call you out.
Okay, there's one other really interesting thing that I read. So I went down this rabbit hole on this, and there's a Harvard Business Review that also talks about integrity, and it says managers who showed they stayed true to their word showed an increase of, this is 2%, but I think it was 200%, or in some cases, $250,000 a year.
Wow.
So there's specific revenue ties to honoring your word. And it starts with what you're doing at home. Like, oh, I'm on a diet this week. Okay, so are you really on a diet?
I don't know. Where are those cookies? I love the cookies.
Yeah, so what you're saying essentially is that your sales integrity is tied to your personal integrity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and how well are you honoring your word all the time?
Because if you can't be responsible to yourself, how do you expect to be responsible to your customer?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm eating less, but I already made my caveat that Garrett's popcorn doesn't count. This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it, and you like the show, and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to the GittimerLearningAcademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GittimerLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.